AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by KC Bubba, as always, in Hour 3 here. Follow him on the Twitter, at BDMtrick. KC, what is going on, my friend?
Not much, my friend. Draft is about less than a week away. Baseball's in full swing. Life is good, my friend.
That's right. You know, it's funny. As we're recording this, the Rockets were mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. So, I mean, they were eliminated from playoff contention like as soon as they traded James Harden. Mathematically, they are donezo now. So, you know, we are moving on and away from basketball for sure. You are a Giants fan, of course. Everyone who listens to this show knows that. It's, you know, we rock in the NL West, Diamondbacks and Giants. And, you know, we do the DFS show on Lion Star as well. We're talking about the Giants game on Thursday night. I had picked Evan Longoria to hit a home run. Didn't happen for me. So, you know,
he left with a hamstring injury, if it makes it feel any better.
Yeah, a little bit, but not really. So I was going to say, because I did some stuff around my house too. I was like, all right, I know I saw him in there. Where'd he go? But anyway, they show in the crowd and I was making myself dinner. I come back to look at the TV, right? And I see a guy holding a gigantic rabbit in the crowd. What and how? And is this as San Francisco and as bougie as it seems?
That's kind of what I tweeted out when I saw it. I said, this is the most, I said Bay Area to make it nice. Because if I say San Francisco, you picture people pooping on the street. But I said Bay Area because it is straight up like you expect to see this by walking around like the outdoor mall or something. It's like having a rabbit on like a leash. Giants games annoy me because people show up in their suit and ties and it's like, no, you're going to a baseball game, people. So let's get at it. But this rabbit's a whole new thing.
People that show up in a suit and tie to fly, you know.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, exactly. It's not like that anymore, you know.
Yeah, but maybe this rabbit thing was a bit surprising to me. Maybe it's because they're all spaced out. Like, oh, I'm going to bring a friend. I don't know.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
But yeah, it was a gigantic rabbit.
The rabbit was huge. So there's another story from Bubba that I want to get into when we come back about a long drive-through line. So stick with us. We'll be right back. I swear we're going to talk about sports in this league on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're also on the Mighty 1090 in San Diego. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, joined by Casey Bubba at Binantric on the Twitter. And Bubba, tell everybody about all the awesome work that you are doing right now.
Yeah, right now, you know, you said we're doing the Line Star MLB DFS show together. So we do that 5 days a week. I do another DFS show that I've done for 5 or 6 years now as well. So we do that, that fun stuff. I write DFS content at rotoballer.com. Season-long content a little bit there, some at Fantasy Degens. I have the Benched with Bubba podcast, which is pretty much all season-long fantasy baseball talk, doing that a couple times a week as well. A golf show, the Always Pressing DFS golf show. I do an hour with you every week. So much fun. So there's always something. I pretty much have about 3 podcasts a day going Monday through Friday.
That's right. That's right. So lots and lots of work that we're putting in. I mean, Bubba and I went from talking once a week to once a day, pretty much on the Line Star show now. So doing lots and lots of stuff. So before we get into sports stuff, Bubba, I mean, we talked about the gigantic rabbit and how it seems like maybe service animals are getting a little out of control. I know that didn't the airlines just cut it down to only dogs? You can't bring
I think so.
Any
I
other
think
type of animal?
Only dogs. I think it's some are kind of restricting that access as well, I think.
Huh. Okay. So I guess Captain can't fly with me. So sorry.
Which is just wrong. So wrong.
I know. This is my service animal right here. But I mean, I've just never seen a rabbit at a game.
No, you know? Neither have I. It's ridiculous.
I it's a good time to bring your service animal because the seats are spaced out and all that stuff. So you're not like, you're not super bothering anybody around you.
Could you imagine just sitting next to this thing and you have your beer sitting there and just like some pebbles come out of its rear end of your beer? like my $20 freaking IPA just got pooped in. This is
right.
Great.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, look, it's very strange. So, I don't know what to say. The fans are great in San Francisco, still one of the loudest ballparks, with more limited access than a lot of other places too. So it was just weird. And I caught it out like I was making myself some dinner. I ran over to my TV and they were going to commercial and they fade away from it. And it was a rabbit in this lady's lap. And I was like, I must have just saw that wrong or something. I don't know what I just saw. It must have been a service dog or something. And then, you know, when I sat back down and I was watching it, I saw them flash back again to the bunny, and then there were tweets about it and all that good stuff. But anyway, I want to talk about this other non-sports thing that happened to you here. You finally got to enjoy yourself some Chick-fil-A. You told me a while back that one was going up kind of in your neighborhood or in your work area, wherever it is. You said, look, man, I've been by it like a bunch of times and there's never not a gigantic line there. And I said, well, to be fair, because when I go to Chick-fil-A, there's always a giant line as well, but I always get through it in 15 minutes tops, like absolute max. When if that was the line at McDonald's, I might as well just pack it in for the day. Like if that line was at McDonald's, you would be there for an hour and a half, you know? So, I figured you saw the long line and went, no way, because you're used to all the other places. You know, if there's two cars in front of me at Whataburger, it's 45 minutes. You know what I mean? So I just understand that. But Chick-fil-A, they always have like 6-7 people out there taking your order ahead of time, get you to pay. So all you got to do at the window is collect your food and roll out. They usually do a pretty good job about that. There's even a comedian that has a joke like, you know, I thought I was getting off the highway, and one of the Chick-fil-A people came up and said, "What did I want to order?" And I said, isn't this the exit? You know, but it took much longer than that for you. So I guess Chick-fil-A is extremely popular in this area that you're that the store popped up in, huh?
All right. So, yeah, so I made a point this one day because I've been going by a few times. I saw the long line. And this day was short because I went at 11 o'clock instead of noon, thinking we're going to be good. Put in a half an hour, be good to go. And I put in 55 minutes. So that was part one that made things difficult. The other part that was interesting, well, not difficult, I should say, is it wasn't just you that said the line should be quick. There was many people, because I put out a Twitter question that if, you know, you ask for podcast questions or anything else, you get crickets. But I said, what should I get for my first time at Chick-fil-A?
No, lots of opinions.
Yeah, I had like 100 responses. And there was like 10 that said, don't go there. But the rest were like really decent answers. I'll give them that. So I'm doing that. And then people were asking, why didn't I eat there? I said, well, because the line. And then I got the whole blah, blah, blah. So I'm okay. I'm planning ahead. I'm going to make this work. I get in line. And it's just like you said, I went around this because it's the long line, went around this loop, and I got to where I needed to go. Like four people taking orders. You eventually go around the corner, people taking your money, go around the corner, you get your food. So it's a great system. The biggest problem is the inside's not open. They're not taking mobile orders. Because that was the answer somebody had. Well, you should order on your phone, blah, blah. I'm like, I know. I do that pretty much everywhere else I go. Like everywhere I go. So I just walk out of my truck, grab my food, go back in my truck, and I leave. It's very simple. COVID has made this a very easy process right now.
Right.
So I downloaded the app even for it just to do it. And I'm like, I'll do that in the future.
I haven't even done that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that in the future. That's easy. So yeah, it took 55 minutes, but I will say, and I like chicken sandwiches. I've tried them at pretty much everywhere I've gone. I went spicy chicken, just the regular spicy chicken. I tried to keep it. Like I didn't go to Lux's. I wanted just boom.
Yeah. Chicken. You want the standard stuff, right?
Waffle fries. I got a Polynesian sauce because that was highly recommended, and the regular Chick-fil-A sauce. So we got one of each. And
yeah, I don't know who responded that exact thing to you. I love that you trust your fat friend. So appreciate that, Bubba. That was definitely my suggestion.
You're welcome. and then I got, because I didn't know it, but like after about the seventh response, someone's like, dude, you got to try the mac and cheese. Well, I'm a huge mac and cheese fan. So, of course, I got a side of mac and cheese also to go with my thing. And I will say it was very good. The sandwich is probably one of the better chicken sandwiches I've ever had. It was like moist, and it wasn't like a small chicken sandwich. It was a good size to it. It was like, and the spice was like spicy. I was happy because sometimes you get jobbed, like they say spicy, and it's not like I live in a town where we have 12 Mexican restaurants and like one American restaurant. I know what spicy is, so don't fool me. But
isn't mixed spicy, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I liked the food. I will never sit in that line again. That's for sure. Not for that food. But once the line gets better, I can mobile order. I will go back there probably, I'm not going to say once a week, but every couple of weeks I'll go by there. Because like I go by there and get Chipotle and other stuff easily. I'll swing in there, no problem.
Yeah, you need some new people in there. I'm guessing that's what the issue is. Because
They're all brand new to the whole thing. They probably have no clue what they're doing.
Right, especially if there's no one in that area. You know what I mean? And did you get a my pleasure from them when you said thank you?
Well, I got the lady taking my order said I have beautiful blue eyes.
Oh,
which I was like, well, thank you. That made the 45 minutes to get to you so much better. didn't know it's still gonna take another 10 minutes to get to my food. And then I didn't get my pleasure. I got have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day.
Yeah. I was like, this is a place that closes on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, they're really not ready yet then because the response is my pleasure. At any Chick-fil-A you go to ever. So have a blessed day.
I thought I was in The Handmaid's Tale.
Have a blessed day. I have never heard that. I've been to many different Chick-fil-A's in my life. It is always my pleasure. So and kind of feels cultish as well.
Yeah.
So,
when she said have a blessed day, it felt cultish. I was like, I kind of felt dirty right now.
Right. Like I don't know. Like, there's no fast food worth waiting an hour for. There just isn't, you know, and I love fast food and I've gone to have a bunch of it. The closest thing to me is Whataburger because it's my favorite, but I'm not waiting 45 minutes for Whataburger. I'm not doing it. So I'm with you, but we got to go to break. When we come back, I swear to God, we'll talk about sports. We'll talk about some baseball. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league, on the Sports Grid, Get on the Grid. Like I said, I promised we were going to talk some sports here. Bubba and I talking about Chick-fil-A and gigantic rabbits at the Giant Stadium so far in the show. But let's talk some baseball, Bubba. And let me ask you this first. So far through the season, we're, you know, most teams are about 15 games in at this point. What is the most surprising thing to you? Is it a player? Is it a struggling team, a team that has started out well, a player that has started out well? What is the most surprising thing to you so far in this baseball season?
I guess it'll be two pitchers. Corbin Burns is not human.
Right.
He zero walks, like 40-something strikeouts. He's must-see TV right now. It's amazing watching him pitch. I even saw if you guys follow Sarah Langs on Twitter, she works for MLB StatCast, and every day she tweets out StatCast stuff, and then sometimes during games she's watching. And I think it was her. It was like 19 at-bats so far that Burns has been in a three-ball count, so potentially could walk a hitter. And there's a scatter plot of his next pitches, and he literally, half of them, he just challenges them with cheddar right down the gut and says, hit me. Stones on him is unbelievable. Like, I love it. The other guy is Tyler Glasnow, who I thought was not this guy, but I always say he needed a third pitch. Well, his slider is filthy, or slutter, or whatever he's calling it. It's really, really good. Now we'll see if he can keep the command. That's always been his issue. But those two guys have been surprisingly, like, even better than I thought they could be.
Yeah, I'm surprised by some of the records so far. And granted, you know, like I said, we're through. You know, I mean, the Tigers are up to, I think, 19 games. So I guess we're closer to 20 than we are to 15 here. But so many teams have rainouts. But the AL East specifically, I mean, Boston being four games over and first place in the division, and the Yankees being 7-11. Now, look, there is no reason for any team to panic at this point, right? Even the bad teams, you know, the Twins are 6-11. You know, the Rockies are 6-12 right now. So that we didn't expect much from the Rockies anyway. The Twins we expected much better from. But I'm really surprised at the Red Sox coming out. And, you know, because I think the main thing with them that we talked about before the season was, it just does not seem like they have the pitching staff to compete, but they've been pitching decently well so far.
They've done good enough. Their bullpen's been decent enough. Like, Matt Barnes has actually looked good. And then the bats are slowly waking up. Like, Bobby Dalbec's hitting for batting average right now. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So there's that. And you mentioned, you want to talk about records. How about the A's, who started off with, what, 6 losses to start the season? Yeah. And everyone was burning down the Oco Coliseum, and maybe it needs to be burned down, to be honest. Yeah. But
now they've not necessarily the worst thing, right?
They won 11 straight, and then they get to go to Baltimore. Like, they could feasibly win 14 straight, and no one would be surprised by going to Baltimore. There's something else. Matt Olson, 6 home runs over the last 10 games. Like, these boys are playing ball right now.
Yeah, yeah, they have come out strong after starting out really, really rough too. And hey, the Diamondbacks just swept the series too.
How about the Diamondbacks taking advantage of extra innings? Both games, like, you know, there was 3-3. They make it 3-3. They're about to lose like 3-0, tie it up, and then end up scoring 8 runs in the game. And then this last game, 14-11. Like, their offense, I was telling someone, their offensive numbers, if you took extra innings out of it, they'd probably be the worst offense in baseball. But then they go play. Is it the Diamondbacks offense is better than we thought, or is the Reds bullpen that bad?
The Reds bullpen is bad. It's really bad.
Look,
you take the two best bats out of the lineup too. Ketel Marte going down with the hamstring, Christian Walker going down with the oblique. You take the two best bats out of a already kind of rough lineup, and you know, there's just not much to expect. Wyatt Matheson is playing a lot of days. Josh Van Meter hit the game tying home run last night off of Amir Garrett, who has looked atrocious so far. And Doolittle, you know, I thought, okay, Amir Garrett blew it last night. Maybe they'll bring in Doolittle for a save situation. And he was awful in middle relief too. So it's been rough for Cincinnati, and they're still 9-9. You know, they're not playing terrible. They're two games out right now behind Milwaukee, who's 11-7. The only team that's really pulled away so far,
the Giants,
the Dodgers at 14-4, 10 games over already. And this is, you know, this is a Dodgers team that is also, you know, they've missed Bellinger for most of the year. Betts has missed a bunch of games. You know, I guess they haven't had injuries on the pitching staff so far, which has been nice. I mean, the Dodgers are kind of everything we thought they were going to be. And it's scary to think what this team is going to look like, you know, when they get Bellinger back and when Betts is 100%, you know, it's dangerous. They could win. They could set a record here. So yeah, what's the most games won in a season? Did the Mariners still hold that?
I think it's still the Mariners. Yeah. If I remember correctly. The Dodgers, they remind me of like the Spurs back in the day. It's like, oh, we're just going to rest and get to the playoffs, and we're just going to smoke everybody with our roster. Like, once we have Duncan and Robinson, we just want to get to the dance, and then we'll just smoke everybody. And it's just like the Dodgers are going to win their division, but it's fun. We talked about it. The Padres series last week was amazing. They got 4 in LA this weekend against the Padres yet again. So it's some top-notch baseball already, and I can't wait. Like, must-see TV with these two teams going at it.
Right, exactly. So, well, let's dive in here. There's an article on Fantasy Pros that is talking about, you know, buy high, sell low. So let's just overall on that point. Are you a buy high guy? I try not to, but if you are going to buy high on a player, it's the time is right now, because if you get to 6 weeks of a guy performing, they're locked in and their price is probably not going to change, even if they start to slide back towards normalcy. So if you're going to buy high, I do think now is the time to do it. So are you a buy high or sell low type of a player?
I'm definitely not a buy high guy. I prefer not to sell low too, but I can see selling low, like try to get something for a bad player. But buying high is like drafting someone at after their best season. It's just a tough predicament. I guess the only reason to really buy high is if you're absolutely desperate to fill a certain position or a certain stat category. But early in the season, it's hard to get that desperate. But like you said, if you're going to do it now, because the longer you wait, you're just eventually they're going to kind of regress towards the mean. And that means you're going to get so many bad games to help with that buy high moment.
Now, I'm looking at a Fantasy Pros article by Mario Mergola, and at Mario Mergola, Mergola, on the Twitter right here. And he has a list of buy high and sell low players. So the hitters he has to buy, Vlad Jr. Are you buying Vlad Jr.?
Oh, yeah, Vladito. It's real. Like, is he going to continue the crazy BABIP he has and everything? Probably not. But is he a 290 to 310 hitter? Probably, and the power is legit. So I'm in on Vladito.
How about Chris Bryant? Are you buying in on Chris Bryant?
This is tilting. No, I'm not. Like, I've been anti Chris Bryant for so long, and I admit he's tearing the cover off the baseball right now, but I don't see this lasting forever. I see some regression coming.
Now, this is going to be potentially another frustrating one for you, but I don't think so. I think you'll snap answer this one. Jazz Chisholm.
Oh, I mean, I'm buying him. Like, I am so legit in on this guy. I know he's young, and the whole thing is that like pitchers are going to adjust to him. Now he's got to adjust to the pitcher. I get all that. But give me Jazz Chisholm. This dude is legit. Power, speed, we've seen the whole time. He's hitting for average. Even if that average drops like 280, he's leading off right now. If that continues, that is going to be tremendous. You got a guy that's got 20-20 upside, potentially 25-25. I'm all for Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, the only reason I said it might be frustrating is because of, obviously, your frustrations with Don Mattingly. And
oh, yeah, he's a moron. Yeah.
Him, you know, yanking Chisholm out of the lineup one day, and then the next day hitting him leadoff for the first time, and he hit leadoff again tonight. So looks like maybe that's his spot. The pitchers, you already talked about Corbin Burns. Are you buying in on him moving forward, or is the price going to be too high right now? Because how can his price get higher than what it is right now?
The price will be astronomical, but if you can make it work, I would buy him. The reason why I was kind of off of him is I was worried about his total innings thrown this season at where he was getting drafted, so I was kind of avoiding it. But now it's like, okay, I could still get 100 to 120 innings of this. Yeah, it's game-changing type stuff. I'd buy on Corbin Burns.
What about Dane Dunning?
No. Like, he's been very good. I've liked Dane Dunning. I like Dane Dunning as a streamer. He's not going to have a 0.6 ERA. He's not going to be doing what he's doing. They're still not even letting him go that long into games. He's just been super efficient so far. They're going to baby him, so I would not be buying high.
Yeah, I mean, the idea with him was for him to go four, next guy to go four.
Yep.
And, you know, to do that double back-to-back starter bit with him. But he's been so good, they haven't had to do it. They've gone to the bullpen after him. Gerrit Cole, are you buying high on Gerrit Cole? Hard to buy high on a first-round pitcher.
It's very hard to buy high. I guess if you could do it, sure, because he is, to me, it's like him and the GOAT are still one and two. So if you can get him, yeah, I'm not worried about anything. I don't think there's anything to be worried about. So if you can get him, sure, yes, buy Gerrit Cole.
Hitters to sell, he has Mountcastle, Happ, and Swanson. They're all struggling right now. Are you selling these guys, or are you waiting for the turnaround?
I'm waiting for the turnaround. I guess if you want to sell Mountcastle, you could. I thought his price was too high in draft season. The hard hit rates are still good. The average will never be as good as people want it to be. So if you want to sell Mountcastle, sure. I would not sell Swanson at all, and I definitely wouldn't sell even Ian Happ either.
Pitchers he has to sell here. Luis Castillo, Kyle Hendricks, Tarik Skubal.
Skubal you can sell if you want, just because he's going to be young and there's going to be a lot of volatility in what he's doing.
Not going to get anything for Skubal, I don't think.
Yeah, and Hendricks, the velocity scares me, I'll be honest, but I try to hold on to him. And Castillo, I'm staying. The velocity's there. He's always been a slow starter. I'd wait on that one.
Yeah. Weather seems to be the issue with him. Even his agent was tweeting it out the other day about how the weather has been affecting him. So understandable. When we come back, we're going to dive back in on the NFL draft. I know we spent 2 full hours talking about it with the Welsh, but we got to get Bubba's take on the first round here, what his Dolphins are actually going to do, and the betting line flipping from, for that number 3 overall pick. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I'm back!
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter, at Bogman Sports. And if you would, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, where we got all kinds of stuff for you. We got GroupMe rooms, live streaming shows. Well, I'm going to be streaming the NFL draft Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next week. It's going to be so much fun. Please check it out if you would. Rankings, all kinds of great stuff over there for you. I'm with Casey Bubba at BDNtrick on the Twitter machine. And Bubba, I know you're excited because the Dolphins got 2 first day picks. They have enough picks to move up again if they wanted to at some point, or could move back and take even more picks. So there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking going on. So how excited are you for your Dolphins on Thursday night here?
I'm excited because it's kind of been part of the process. They've been accumulating all these draft picks. We knew I've said it before on the show. I like the new front office, the Patriots way. They're doing the things that need to be done there. And we're getting closer to actually kind of cashing in on all these draft picks. So this is this year and next year kind of really big and seeing, is this regime going to put together a winner, or is it just kind of been a great idea that's been failed and you have to be able to execute in the draft? So I'm very excited to see what they do.
Our guy Pizapia has, you know, kind of gleefully talked about how when these guys leave, they don't usually find a ton of success. I mean,
no, they don't.
A lot of the assistants have not found success, but Flores in Miami has done very, very well for himself. And like you said, they are building it the Patriot way. And, you know, your team has moved to six. There's been some rumors that maybe they would potentially think about moving down. I don't believe it. Number one, number two, I think the only way it happens is if Trey Lance were to fall to pick six and one of those QB hungry teams paid a ransom to move up, or maybe it's not a ransom. Maybe it's an extra second or a third for you to switch picks with the Lions if they wanted Trey Lance, just to make sure no one else bumped up. And then you would pick at seven and still get whatever player you wanted, knowing that they'd be taking Trey Lance. So are you with me on that? Or do you think that there is a potential for them to move out of that spot?
I'm fine with them moving out. I think your logic makes much more sense than just saying, yeah, they'll move to like 10 or something. I don't see them moving too far. Let's put it that way. But if it's like you said, someone wants to come up and get Lance, it's maybe they're even picking eight or nine, like right behind eight through 12. Even I can see someone wanting to jump up. And if it means getting another, you know, second or third or something, I'm all for it because these guys are doing the right thing. And in reality, we talked last, like, is it Pitts? Is it a receiver? Is it this? Is moving three or four picks back going to be the end of the world? Unless you are gung-ho, I have to have Pitts. Right. Moving back's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah, that's the thing to me is 10, you know, the Cowboys don't make sense because...
Yeah,
because
they're getting Surtain probably.
Well, yeah, but really it's more because if the Cowboys are moving up, it's for Pitts. And if you're the Dolphins, why do you trade out of taking Pitts? You know, you would just take him. So that's why the Cowboys didn't make sense to me. The Broncos might at nine.
I said the Broncos, they need a quarterback, so that could be interesting. Yeah,
if they don't trade up to four, which of course is a possibility as well. Now, Bubba, we talked about last week how the line for the number three overall pick, Justin Fields, had jumped up to be the favorite. Where the last couple weeks it had been Mac Jones. Now Mac Jones flips back to the favorite pick for the Niners. And I heard in between Welsh and I recording and you and I recording, I heard that the Niners are definitely set between either Jones or Lance, which I hadn't heard. But I feel like all of it could be some weird smokescreen to try to get somebody to move up with the Falcons, which I don't understand why the Niners or anyone would be helping. Seems like Zach Wilson is locked in at two. We know Trevor Lawrence is locked in at one. So now the new odds for the number three overall pick are Mac Jones -145, Justin Fields +165, Trey Lance +290. Are you putting any cheddar down on any of these guys, or are you throwing your hands up and going, you know what, I'll watch it, I'll see who they pick, and we can move on from there?
In reality, I'd say watch it, but if you want to have some fun, I would go with either Fields or Lance, because I think if you listen to Shanahan talk, he wants that mobile quarterback, that read option quarterback. He talks about how, you know, a defense has always had the advantage, 11 on 10. It's a great clip if you can find it from last week. But you throw a quarterback in that can make things mobile, now it's 11 on 11, and you have the advantage. So. Yeah. I think as much as I like Mac Jones, I think he's a good pocket passer. I think he's obviously not the same athletic, like moving around things as Fields and Lance are. So I think it's one of those guys, honestly, that goes to Shanahan's team.
Yeah, I have kind of said this ever since we started this process when the Niners moved up. I can't imagine that it's not Fields. Fields is number three to me.
For what they're doing, for what they're building there with all those running backs, with the pass catchers they have. They're not a bunch of deep threat type guys. It's like they have a couple, like they can go deep, but the idea, the quick West Coasty Shanahan style fits Fields' game to me a lot. But
yeah. I mean, it fits. He just has way more upside. And I hate saying this about Mac Jones because I do like Mac Jones. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, and I think he could be. You know, if he fell to Washington or Washington moved up, however it worked, I think he could easily drop right in and start. You know, I don't think he will because Fitzpatrick is a veteran, and you know, usually you wait around until the veteran sucks and then you let the new savior come in and work that way. You know what I mean? It just makes more sense to do it that way. But I would love to see him in Washington get a shot. He could be fine in San Francisco. I just don't think you give up two more first round picks to move up to take Mac Jones. That's all. I do think Fields has that upside. So I'm still going to hold pat that it's Fields and he has now plus odds. Yeah. So I would be happy that I didn't bet it last week. Some of these other teams here, what do you think Atlanta's doing it for? We've heard rumors with potentially Denver trading up, and we've heard a lot of rumblings about them wanting a quarterback, but this deal isn't done, I think, because we don't know what San Francisco's doing at three. If they're moving up to take Fields, then fine. If they said, hey, look, Fields or Lance or Mac Jones, we're okay with any of them, the trade would have been done already. They're clearly looking for one of those guys. And if you ask me, I would assume that it's Justin Fields.
For the Falcons, yeah. I think Mac Jones.
For the Broncos to move up.
Oh, yeah. For the Broncos to move up, it's got to be Justin Fields, because otherwise I think Mac Jones fits Atlanta pretty darn good to me. That just seems to be their system. I think we talked about it last week. For the Falcons, I like the idea of adding one more playmaker just to try to go for it. At the same time, they have holes on defense. Do you add an alignment to protect Matty Ryan for another year or two? There's so many questions involved with them, so that's why they are a legit trade option. They're kind of a wild card there. Where they want to go. I'd love to see Denver come up. I think you're 100%. It relies on what do the Niners do? Is Fields still available? Then you might get a bunch of phone calls. If Fields isn't available, well, you might get crickets. It'll be really interesting to see how that plays out on Thursday night.
Yeah, and if Fields does go, and they don't get the phone calls, I guess part of the crew now that thinks that Kyle Pitts is going for to Atlanta, that, which I know would be disappointing to you, because you would love to see him fall to six. Is that your number one option for the Dolphins? I think
I've bought into that now, because just what they've built there, I think they can get a pretty good wide receiver later on in the draft. They don't have to force their hand early, but a guy like Pitts, one of those kind of potentially game changing tight ends that we've seen with the Gronks and the Aaron Hernandez's before Aaron Hernandez went Aaron Hernandez and stuff like that. Those athletic tight ends, I think Pitts fits that mold so good, and I'd love to see it in Miami.
I would like to see it too. What do you want the Dolphins to do with that second pick? Do you want them to go best player available? Is there a specific player? Would you like to see Najee Harris in a Dolphins uniform? Travis Etienne, what are your thoughts on that second pick for them?
Second pick, I want it. Okay, by the end of the draft, I want at least one or two O-linemen that can protect Tua, to keep protecting Tua. I really want that. It's like part of me, like at six, if Sewell was there, I'd be over the moon. I just don't think he will be there. But that
I
would
think
be
he
like,
might.
Like, no, I'd be good I, with so, that. I'd be good with that. As much as I love Pitts, protect the franchise.
So what I've read, and I don't know, if my sources are any better. I don't have, this is just reading. This is not people telling me this. So I don't have sources, but from what I read, it seems like the Bengals are locked into Ja'Marr Chase. So that's what they're going to do.
My goodness.
That's what they're going to do, and they're going to hope a tackle's left there for him in the second round.
Did you see the picture? Sorry to interrupt you. Did you see the picture of Burrow sitting on the throne in the new Bengals uniform, and then someone on Twitter circled his knee scar and said, I guess we know who their number one pick's going to be.
Yeah. It's
apparently not, though.
To each their own. Look, Ja'Marr Chase is a great wideout, and we had an amazing class last year, and Chase would have been number one in that class. He's a stud. He's an absolute stud, and I understand wanting him. But like I said, your quarterback doesn't stay on his feet. What difference?
Doesn't matter who. Yeah, I could be wide receiver. It won't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter who the wideout is. So you want, okay, so if Sewell is there.
Oh, I'm all aboard.
So hold on. If it goes four quarterbacks to start, Broncos straight up take Fields. The Niners took Mac Jones. All right. Five is Ja'Marr Chase. You're sitting at six with Sewell or Pitts.
Yeah, we could trade. I'm good with that too. Get another pick out of it. See what happens. I'm in.
But see,
But you can play with fire and miss out on both too.
Right, right. Yeah, you would have to be trading with one of the two teams just ahead of you, and know they're not taking one of those guys.
If the Cowboys are gung-ho on Pitts, you could go that route and see what happens.
Oh, well, Sewell's not going to fall back like the Panthers would take him.
Then it comes down to, do you want that extra pick and you can play there? So
that's it gets true.
Interesting, because you get that extra pick and you're like, okay, I might not get Sewell, but now I can still get a top, you know, I go get a wide receiver, or go get this, like a defensive player or whatever. And then now I got another pick. I can go get a really good lineman here, and then like stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So is there any other, you know, just looking through the bets, and I went through most of them with Welsh, is there any that you would plunk down some money on? I mean, I tell you the ones I like. I kind of like Javonte Williams at plus 600 to be the first running back off the board.
That's who I hope falls to the Dolphins in early second round. That's who I want to fall there. That's the guy I want right there. I don't want to waste the second first round pick on a running back. Give me, I pray to God, Williams falls, or he probably won't, but that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think he could. I definitely think he could, because the over under on running backs is a half in the first round. So one. And if it's one, it's going to be Najee, right? Yeah, I think
it should be on paper. Yes.
But
unless you get a full like Chiefs moment from last year.
The reason why I said plus 600 for Javonte is because if Harris gets skipped and we don't see a first round running back go,
true.
You know, there's a team that could have fallen in love with Javonte thinking that they weren't going to get Najee or Etienne.
Very true.
And that's exactly what happened last year with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So any other, you know, safety or cornerback or total players or any of that you like as far as these lines go?
If you want to do like total offensive players in round one, I'll take the over 18.5. I think it's a very top heavy offensive first round. So I think you could have some fun with that one, because that's counting O linemen too. Like you're going to, between O linemen, obviously all the receivers that are going to go, all the court, like there's going to be six or seven quarterbacks that go. Yeah, I'll take the over 18.5 on that.
All right. Well, look, when we come back, we're going to each pick a bet that we're going to plunk some money down on. And maybe we'll try to see during the break if there's one that we disagree on. So stick with us. We'll be right back, ending out the 3-hour tour after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in this league.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You guys here, endless love. You know what that means. It is the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Remember to follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at BDNTrick for Bubba, at Is the Welsh for the Welsh. If you haven't, you can go ahead and wish the Welsh a happy birthday on Twitter, too, if you miss it on Thursday. That would be awesome. So you looked at the bets, Bubba. Is there one that stands out to you? We couldn't find one we really disagree on, by the way.
No, but we talked about it earlier. We said if Fields goes 3, you can get him under plus 184, also under 3.5. So that's an intriguing one. I know you talked about that before. But the other one that's interesting is over under 5.5 quarterbacks to me. We kind of discussed this. Like we can name 5 right out the gate that might go in the top 10 for crying out loud. So it's the next 20 picks, does one more go? It's plus 460 if that happens. Like it's not likely, but there's rumors starting. So I think that's interesting. Either play that angle, or Kellen Mond is over under 89.5. That's the guy that's rumored to go into the first round. You can get the under at 106. So that's interesting too.
Yeah, I don't think
he's a good quarterback, but if people are actually buying into it.
I think Kellen Mond could develop. You know, I think he could sit behind someone and develop for a little bit, but he is not a first round pick. So
he had a rough year this last year. Like I thought he'd take a next step type thing.
Yeah,
didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean honestly, I'd rather have Jamie Newman. You know, than
he's good. I liked him a lot. That week. Yeah,
Yeah, and we haven't heard much about Jamie Newman, which makes me wonder if teams are being coy about him. Are they trying to stay quiet because a lot of teams like him? Not getting that buzz, or are they, you know, is he just not getting the buzz because teams don't like him? But for me, the two that I like here, just if you're going for overall picks, Jalen Phillips over under 21.5, -116 on the under, and the first defensive lineman in the draft, I think he is +160. I like both of those because I think he's in play for the Giants at 11. And if not the Giants at 11, he could be in play for the Vikings at 14, the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Raiders could use an edge rusher. Your Dolphins could use an edge rusher. I think that he is in play in a couple spots there. So I kind of like that one, but that's going to wrap it up for us for today. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we will see you next week in this league on the Sports Grid.